Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Kitchen Pockets 123 Radio Show. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico. Laurie, are you there? Hello, everyone. Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123, the radio show. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico. Laurie, can you hear me? Okay, so tonight we're going to talk about the hearings that we just heard and everything. The number to call is 515-605-9802. Laurie, can you hear me? Yes, man. So, QAnon people, Trumplicans, your days are numbered, your candidates, your Lord and Savior Donald Trump, his time is running out, and he may be going to jail. Steve Bannon may be going to jail. A lot of people deserve to go into prison for what they did. They're trying to instigate a civil war. and you know, this is not acceptable. This is America. Our door to things like this here. We're supposed to be a beacon of prosperity and democracy, and we have this crap thanks to Donald Trump. How close were we to a civil war? What, you know, we're going to talk about the latest on January 6th committee hearings. These and any other thing you want to talk about, you can call us. We'd love to hear from everybody. Yeah, so we're just waiting on Laura to call in so we can have a conversation and see what's going on and if we can make sense of all this happening. Hello, Laurie.
Can you hear me? Hi.
Yes, I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened.
I don't know. I got cut off somehow.
Yeah, yeah.
It just hung up.
Okay, again.
Just got... Anyway.
Yeah.
Hi.
Yeah.
How's everybody?
Yeah, not good. I was just telling the people how frightening what we just heard from people who testified in this January 6th committee hearing. Donald Trump has the gall and nerve, you know. I don't know what to say, really. I'm at a loss for words. This man is a lunatic.
Well, more than that, more than a lunatic, he is cold, calculated, heartless, a narcissist. He has no heart. He has no soul. He has no feelings for anyone, nor has he ever had feelings for anyone. The only thing that he has in his mind is his selfishness and to prop himself up. He doesn't even care about his own family. I truly believe that. You know, he went to the funeral for his ex-wife, Ivana, and he was texting or asking for donations. I mean, this family, they're a bunch of grifters.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what planet they came from, but it's appalling.
Mm-hmm.
And tonight, my blood pressure is way up.
Yes, indeed, indeed. And how can you go to a funeral for your first wife and try to raise money at her funeral? That's, it's so classless and, you know, tasteless, you know?
It has,
that's so uncouth.
That's what there's no words, like you said, there's no words for it except that He's not even, you can't even consider him to be a human being, in my opinion.
He's a real son of a bitch.
Well, there's, I guess what I'm trying to get at is that there's nothing human about him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, people eventually, even murderers, you know, once they go to prison and sit there and think about what they did, you know, after everything, some of them do have remorse. He has no remorse, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
He still doesn't to this day. People die.
You know. Mm-hmm. And they're still pushing this narrative that, you know, the election was stolen from him. I think it was Arizona recently, a couple of days back, where he called the election official there saying that he should rescind the election certification. So he had an argument that, you know, he won and he was robbed. You know, it's just mind-baffling, you know, that he's in La La Land and his supporters are supporting his lunacy and putting democracy in peril. It's frightening because the same thing happened in Nazi Germany is happening today in America. We believe that we'd learn from history, but this is not the case because, first of all, we have to teach real history to learn from it, and America don't do that, you know? So, you know, it's scary. Democracy is in peril. Even after the 2022 election is over, we still have to be vigilant because people like Donald Trump and QAnon and Republicans currently in Congress and the Senate and the House support this garbage, you know? And even with overwhelming evidence of what Trump is saying is utterly garbage, let's still go on with it. Why? They're so brainwashed, they're so hateful against anyone who's non-white, immigrant, gay, anybody different from them. I hope people, I know it's late and everything on the East Coast, and it's 11 o'clock there, you know, I hope people call in to vent their frustrations and talk about what took place in the hearing tonight. It was fascinating, but yet terrifying.
For me, it was terrifying to see how he fought tooth and nail to not want to give in after you know, staff member after staff member after staff member tried reasonable to him, insensible to him, gave him reasons. That just shows you the level of inhumanity that he has. I can't express that enough because, like I said, there are people that are inhumane, but they find, you know, most of them find their way. I mean, they find something. There's a shred of hope. There is not a shred of hope for this man. There is not.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Is he certifiably insane? I mean, I know that his father, from reading that I've done about his growing up and as a young man, and I know that his father, for some reason, doted on him the most, his older brother, was ignored, and his older brother was the achiever in the family, and Donald Trump was always the loser in the family. But for some reason, his father always doted on Donald. No matter what he did wrong, it was never wrong. And what his older brother did right was never right. Does that make sense to you?
Trump.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so John Trump, his older brother, Mayor Trump's father, he was an achiever and everything, but because he didn't have a ruthlessness and the narcissistic tendencies that Donald had, then his father showed favor to him, which is very creepy.
Yeah. Yes, that's what I'm trying to say. The whole family situation was creepy. You know, his older brother, John, He also was a pilot. He was the first transatlantic pilot. This man was, he was amazing. He worked for, you know, for the Trump Organization. But his father never, ever gave him any sort of accolades for anything. And there was Donald screwing up left and right, everyone always cleaning up after him. But his father never, never made it, like he never had to pay for any of his mistakes in his life. And that is what he's doing today still in his grave. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, I guess growing up when you've been told yes to everything, you can do no wrong. And that's reason to his narcissism.
Yeah, you know, and his father went on to have Alzheimer's, and this is what really got me. I don't know why I'm going on to this, but I'm trying to make a point, I guess. And so his father went on to came down with Alzheimer's, and he would have good days, and he would have days where he was more lucid and days where he, of course, would forget things, but he still wanted to go to the office. Well, he had, of course, he had a will, and he had, what, four brothers and sisters, I believe, or five. I'm not sure at the moment. But anyway, so they were all in the will. And on a day that his father was, he was lucid that day. Donald went into his office, and he had the will with him. And he wanted his father, he thought that he could convince his father to change that will and give everything to him, everything, leave everything to him. And that day his father was lucid enough, and he could think clearly that day, and he didn't do it. That is what we have to remember. This is the kind of non-human that he is.
Yes. Oh, on another note, we'll come back to this, but today it's reported that President Joe Biden has COVID, or mild COVID, signs are there.
Yeah.
So wish him a speedy recovery and the best
do.
Of health soon.
Yeah.
You know,
yes, they said his, like you said, it's mild. They gave him, you know, the treatment, and I don't even try to say the names of the drugs, but they said he has... a hoarse voice, a little bit of a dry cough and the sniffles, and he's tired, of course. So, yes, we wish him the best. We love you, Joe Biden.
Yes. you notice gas prices coming down and all, which is a good thing. But no, Fox News is saying that, that why is gas prices coming down? It's Joe Biden's fault. So he was damn if we do, damn if we don't. He has no control over the gas prices. Look at the prices in Europe, Latin America, Asia, California, the hell. Some places in California, it's $10 per gallon. You know, Joe Biden has no control over that. So what's Fox News going on about? You know, I think Fox News should be burned to the ground. I'm sorry. You know, it should be burned to the ground. And I hope lawsuits filed by the voting machine people is successful. Fox News tried to throw it out there and Sidney Powell, but the judge said no, it will go through. Because these people really need to pay. Rudy Giuliani, you know, don't want to appear in front of the subpoena in Georgia. Lindsey Graham, senator from South Carolina, changed his mind recently. And you see what's happening with Bannon now. He may serve 2 years. Because, you know, the trial started today, and he basically had no defense.
Went to the jury today.
So hopefully he gets 2 years, you know, or more, the more the merrier, because that son of a bitch right there, who don't look like he has bathed and shit for how many days, you know, he's going on ranting and raving, you know.
I know.
Oh, yeah, you know,
there's
he's
something.
A superior white guy.
Yeah, there's, you know, there's something about him that he thinks he's better than everyone else. And, you know, he's got that, you know, that thing about him. But we know that he's totally a piece of, you know, what. So.
Yeah, he's a piece of shit. Again, say he's a piece of shit. You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, so, he deserves to go to prison. Absolutely. You know.
Mm-hmm.
So So it has been revealed that the whole time that the President Trump was the former president, the former guy, the foreign orange man. I won't call him president. I'm sorry. He was never my president. Was watching Fox News the whole time. That blows my mind. That doesn't blow my mind. Mm-hmm. It's hysterical to me that he goes in there into the, you know, and watches Fox News for 3.5 hours. You know, that's just incredible to me. And once he saw what was going on, he still did not care because they weren't going to harm him. He didn't care.
Yeah. And it took almost 4 hours for him to really mobilize the National Guard and, you know, law enforcement.
He didn't even do it. No, it was Pence. It was Pence. And, you know, okay, let's talk a little bit about Vice President Pence because, you know, everyone thinks this, he's this, you know, some people think that he's a hero. I don't. I don't think he's a hero. I think that he was the vice president. He had a job to do. He knew what was right. He knows what's right and wrong. He knew what was the right thing to do, and he did it. But all the years that he served under the president, he just let him do whatever he wanted. He never said a word. He was like the silent partner in my eyes. And I do not think that he is a good person or a great person or a Christian or, or whatever he says that he is. Sorry. And if he wants to run for president, puke me, okay?
Yeah.
Not the type.
And I guess he would have to ask mommy. That's what he calls his wife. Mike Pence calls his wife mommy. And that's so fucking creepy. You know?
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah.
Can you picture you calling your husband daddy or him calling you mommy? That's disturbing.
I know. Yeah, it's very disturbing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's just beyond. But what I was trying to get at is that as a president, give me a break, okay? No way. There's nothing about him that's presidential in my eyes. So
no,
that's my opinion.
Never was and never will be. Yeah, we had a great opportunity in electing Hillary Clinton. And we'll totally fuck that up. Yeah.
Yeah.
A number to call, ladies and gentlemen, is 1 hour show tonight. We have 42 minutes left. Number to call, 515-605-9802. We'd love to hear from you. We always love hearing from you. You could check us on Facebook at facebook.com/kitchenpolitics123. Soon and pretty soon we'll be expanding, and we'll be having candidates from Texas, New York, California, all over the place. They're progressing, moving for office on a statewide level, federal level, local level. We need you to really help these candidates across the nation who are Democrats to get elected to these various key positions, because what we're having now is Republicans and QAnon people running for places like school board and radicalizing the school board. You know, we're having nut jobs, you know, the banning books, we want to burn books. You know, the little girls, 10-year-old girls not having abortions and having a baby. No, you know, a 10-year-old cabin sitting in front of a car, how would I expect her to have a damn baby? You know, and if you're pro-life. Speaking of, you know, pro-life, Jim Jordan, that's another character, a clown, insane clown. He was pushing the narrative that, you know, this is a 10-year-old Ohio girl that was raped. That was the hoax and it was a lie. Fox News grabbed it and ran it. You know, it's disgusting. It's vile. I think that's why Fox News needs to be burned to the ground. They're despicable people. Yep. Sean Hannity, Laura Ingraham, the whole lot of them, for real. You know,
I agree.
What's your take on them?
I think that they are poison. I really do. You know, we all talk about free speech and, you know, our First Amendment rights and, but, you know, there has to be limits because we have to understand. What we have to understand is there are people in this country all around us that are not well mentally. They either, you know, they may have a learning disability or they may have a head injury, or they're just slow, or they never finished school, or they didn't never finish fifth grade, or there are so many things that could that make you maybe illiterate, etc. Okay, so what we have to remember is that our First Amendment rights for these people, when they hear someone talking on their level, they believe them. They believe them. That's the part that we have to get right, and we're not getting that right. We are not. And also, I also believe that Donald Trump did know that he had a chance of losing, absolutely had a chance of losing that election. And he had it planned in his mind that he was not going to be the loser. That's the bottom line, because he never has to lose anything. And for that lesson for him, he has still not learned his lesson.
No, he never will. He always knew he was going to
lose. What do we do about that?
He still hasn't conceded, and will never concede. He always knew that he was going to lose because he saw the goddamn hate in our own world. And people, you know, waking, even Republicans waking up, you know, DeSantis, or the Satan from Florida, may run for the Republican nomination. He's the current front runner, according to Fox News. You know, so we're interested in three ways between Trump, Mike Pence, and Ron DeSantis, you know, and I hope the tear each other apart, because I love seeing Republicans crumble, you know. We thought Sarah Palin was crazy and Michelle Bachmann. We'll long for those days, because these people is that they keep going farther right and fringe. It would make all the new dictators and the parties blush the way they're so naked in their arrogance and their ignorance, you know. And you know why they don't want to pay teachers? Because, you know, if you pay teachers better ways, you know, better pay equal better teachers, better teachers equal a better education, and a better education equals smart voters. And, you know, smart voters never vote Republican. So that's what they're fair.
Exactly.
You know, they don't have any strong
policy. That's part of the problem.
They have no policy goals. They have more. Yeah, they just want to cut taxes for corporations, help the rich, to help everybody else. And the sooner people realize that that's what Republican Party is about, the more they'll vote Democratic, because Republicans, if it depends on your pocketbook size, the size of your wallet and your bank account. If you don't have certain millions, then you're on your own. And I wish people, especially in Middle America, in Oklahoma, in Nebraska, and places like Missouri, would just understand that the red states, especially in the South, they vote Republican. Look at Mississippi, the worst state in the union, poor in education. You know, it's sick. It's a sick. It's a sickness, a mental illness.
Yep, absolutely right.
Do you think the Democrats will win? One question. Do you think Democrats could get more seats in the U.S. Senate races? And do you think we can lose the House of Representatives?
I've said this many times over and over again. I won't even think in those terms. I don't want to think in those terms. Can it happen? Sure. But do I think that people are waking up? I belong to a group that's a Texas group, and it's all women. And there are 500,000 people in women in this group, and they are all against Governor Abbott. They made the news. They are knocking on doors. They are doing everything that they can do, possibly do, to help Beto win in Texas. So I do think. I do think there is hope out there. Georgia, the same thing. Georgia, the same thing. So I don't know. I think there's hope. I really do. I think people have had enough of this bashing stuff.
Yes. We'll have a call coming in. And for the guests out there, we'll have just over half an hour left. Remember, when you call in, say first name, where you're calling from. The number again, if you want to know, is 515-605-9802. And welcome, caller, to Kitchen Politics 123. How are you doing tonight?
Hello, is it me?
Yes,
it's you. Hi.
Oh, hello. This is Jackie calling from Missouri.
Oh, hi,
hey,
Jackie.
Jackie.
How are you?
Hello. I'm doing great. I finally found your show.
Oh,
forever.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Jessica sent me a link. So I wasn't sure what your theme was tonight, but I guess it's just an open mic situation.
Yes, and we were talking about the hearing tonight.
Oh, my goodness. I was sitting on the edge of my seat.
Yes. What were your what's your take on it, Jackie?
I'm overwhelmed at this point. I don't think I've processed everything. I'm angry and I'm sad.
Yes.
I just don't know which one is winning the war right now.
You
know, I think that there
I was screaming at the TV.
I was listening to it on NPR on the radio. I was having a driveway moment in front of my house. And my son needed me to go in and snake his drains. And I'm like, you're making me miss the hearing. And he just rolled his eyes at me. You know, he's a 30-something. Disenfranchised by his government. Doesn't think his vote matters kind of guy, you know. And he's like, oh,
yeah.
Mom.
So, Jackie,
but, yeah,
I have a question for you about Missouri. You know, Greitens, the former governor who resigned in disgrace, he's running for U.S. Senate. Do you think he'll get a Republican nomination? And if he does get a Republican nomination, do you think he can win the general?
It's scary. They, you know, I mean, people voted in Trump the first time, and I didn't think that had ever happened. I thought that was the biggest joke in history, and then look what happened. You know, this guy's running ads to give away AR-15s during his the pre-election.
Yes.
Wow.
You know, that's the kind of guy we're talking about here. So we've got some doozies here, the Blunts, and there's a bunch of people in Missouri that need to go away. But crawl under the rock they came from. But I have a theory. I think a lot of people are shaking their heads and saying, how did we get here as a country? How did this happen? And I have a theory I'd like to bounce off of you and Lori.
Go ahead.
And it goes like this. I don't know if you guys are old enough to remember the 70s, but...
oh, yeah.
Okay. In the 70s, what happened was all the moms went to work. We needed to have two incomes just to maintain our households. And Hamburger Helper was invented. Phrases like latchkey kids became a part of our everyday language. Daycares became a national industry. All of a sudden, then we had strangers raising the kids right at the onset of corporatism. And within 10 years, there's a VCR in every house. So I just want you to, this is the beginning. My grandmother would say it was the filthy hippies in the 60s that started it all. But I don't think that they were too busy tuning in and tuning out. What did Larry say? Tune in and turn off or something like that. You know, but when the mothers had to go to work, you see, when my mother was a single mother and she went to work, we had a babysitter. Every block or every couple of blocks, there was a lady whose house was a safe house. She watched everybody's kids, and everybody knew her. And when the moms went to work, we started having to have daycares. It became this industry. Now we have, you know, and so my theory is then we had strangers raising kids at the onset of corporatism. This is when such things as common sense and common courtesy went out the window. And there was nobody there to greet the kids when they got off the school bus and give them a hug and a cookie and a glass of milk and say, how was your day? People stopped listening to each other. They'd come home. Both parents are exhausted from working. We started having remote controls for our TV. You know, back in the early 70s, the kids were the remote control. You see, what started happening was people stopped talking. Now we're eating in front of the TV. We can watch movies umpteen times. You know, you don't have to go to the theater. You don't have to wait for The Wizard of Oz to come on TV once a year or The Ten Commandments. You know, they would show certain movies once a year every year. And now you started having all this, so people could just constantly participating in distraction, or what's the word where you ignore your problems or you ignore the situation, you stop communicating, and of course, that's when progressive education educators started giving kids time out instead of swatting them with a paddle, which I don't disagree with, but discipline went out the window in a lot of ways. And I personally, as a mother, had to have talks with all of my kids when they got to be, you know, about that point in puberty where they're losing their temper all the time, and they're they get to the point where they're breaking things and maybe hurting people because they can't control their anger. And I'd have to have a sit down with them and say, look, you know, you're whatever, 15 years old. You have 3 years before you are considered an adult. You could be tried as an adult. So we have 3 years to figure this out. Because right now, if you get in trouble, I send you to your room. But when you're 18, you will be sent to a jail cell or put in a hospital. Someone will have power over you, either a cop or a doctor. You're either going to be medicated or jailed. So we got to figure this out. And I taught them coping mechanisms. Well, right now, I'm a school bus driver, and I have been for over 15 years. And I'm telling you, every year I go back, I think it can't get any worse. And it does. It just keeps getting worse. And so
are
there's
the kids
no coping
disrespectful,
mechanism.
Jackie? Jackie, are the kids disrespectful and rude?
It's It just it makes me speechless. Can you imagine?
I'm just
aghast for words. And there are times, I swear, Lori and David, I have had to say things on the bus to these kids, and I come home and I'm like, did I just actually have to teach them that on the school bus, for God's sake? I can give you a couple of funny examples, but we don't have that long. But teaching them basics, you know, like I said, common sense. We used to know, don't rub bacon on your zipper and tease a dingo. You know, it's common sense. But kids don't even.
Right.
I know, it's hilarious. They, you know, we knew such things. It was just, it's a kick to our prime directive. Common sense used to be a survival tool. You know, you touch the stove and you get burned. It's common sense to be careful around fire. But parents you know, they wait for the school to teach everybody everything, but the teacher's hands are tied when it comes to discipline and certain topics you can discuss. And, you know, I could have probably gotten in trouble for saying that on the bus, don't rub bacon on your zipper and then tease a dingo. Somebody might have thought that was prurient or something and written me up. Who knows? But hands are so tied, and they've got to be so careful about what they say and how – oh, my Lord. And so a lot of them just throw their hands up and say, whatever, pass the kid on to the next teacher. It's her problem. It's his problem.
I know, Jackie, another thing, though, the helicopter parenting, where the parent, instead of making the child go out there and experience failure and disappointment, you know, instead of
let them
that,
fall down.
That
that's how they learned how to walk.
Exactly. They come in there, swoop down, and try to protect them from everything, the world, the real world. You know, and so the coping mechanism when they turn 18 and are full-grown adults don't know how to function in society, you know.
Well,
good
and this is how we got this president.
Well, another thing,
this president, Trump, he's the emperor in the new clothes, you know. He's the naked man walking around saying, don't you like my clothes? And everybody's too scared to tell him, you're making a fool of yourself.
Right.
And it's because there's no common sense and common courtesy. And in our country and indeed the world, money equals power. Then that leads to this entitlement attitude. And like I said, the corporatism, the corporate mentality was all about me. In fact, if you were not willing to step on your coworkers to get ahead, then you were held back. Then you're not management material. And they didn't like that. They wanted you to step on people. They wanted you to compete.
Oh, yeah.
And it's still going that way today. And so people are conditioned to think about nobody but themselves. You know, the first question when we have a meeting at work is, are we getting paid for this? And it's usually those people that are the last ones to show up, and they're the first ones to leave in the afternoon. They don't have an idea of the company's welfare as a big picture. They don't think if the company does well, I do well. They're just like, that's not my job.
Yeah.
They're too quick.
That's above my pay grade.
Yeah, they just want to. They just want to play singles tennis. You know, they don't know anything about teamwork.
Mm-hmm.
No. The other thing that we have to keep in mind too is social media. The generations now, I mean, I'm just as bad as everyone else with the phone. And there's no communication. I mean, sometimes when I'm like pulling into a parking lot and someone is walking, they've got their head down in the phone, their phone, and they don't even see you coming. You have to slam on your brakes because they're not looking, you know.
No, they're not.
They are mesmerized in their phones, you know. This is their life. Mm-hmm. They take a thousand pictures of themselves, and they're in, you know, all their chats and everything else, and that is their world. The world of face-to-face doesn't happen. There's no real conversation. All the catting and all the arguing that goes on and the fighting that goes on in schools, a lot of it is just via their phones, you know, and it's sad. It is really sad what's happened. And I think that has a lot to do with what's happening in the world and in our country as well.
Well, the VCR in every home in the 80s was the beginning of the VCR in every home was the beginning of the technological rise of the last, you know, 75 to 100 years. First we had the industrial, and then we had all of this. But when those VCRs came into the house, it became personal. It changed our lifestyles, our very national lifestyles.
Yeah,
and then since then we've been fascinated with technology, and I totally agree. But to the point that nowadays, you know, my grandson, I take him out to Chick-fil-A, and they hand him his food. He said, "Thank you so much. Would you like some dipping sauce?" "No, thank you." You know, and they're just like perplexed and speechless that this little boy has manners. I'm like, he's 10 years old. Mm-hmm. Of course he's gonna have manners, but that's because I've taught him. But we call it restaurant manners. We practice them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Can we go somewhere for lunch if you'll practice your restaurant manners? And so that's our deal.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we can take our children with us. We can take our grandchildren anywhere we want because we know that they'll hold the door for people. We know that they will say thank you. You know, it's a pleasure. But a lot of the kids on my bus have not had – nobody's ever taught it to them. You know, how are they supposed to know if nobody teaches them? And if they're living in these households that are, I'm sorry to say this in public, but Trumpers, they're just so hate-filled. Life's too short for so much hate. My goodness. My goodness. Mm-hmm.
Yes,
and,
they do.
And I have a mock election every time we have a presidential election. We do a mock election on my bus. I probably shouldn't do that. But I'll tell you the truth. Those kids have picked the winner every single time.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Yeah. That's because they listen to their parents.
They're just parroting what their parents have told them, of course.
Right,
so,
exactly.
But nevertheless, you know, and even then my grandson, when Trump first ran, my second grandson, he was probably only 9 years old at the time. He's a teenager now. But he said, "No way is he going to win. He's a bully. He's mean." And I said, "Honey, you're 9 years old, and you can see that. I'm so proud of you that you can see the obvious."
That's right.
You keep your eyes wide open, buddy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, the one thing that I gave me a little bit of hope today, not to change the subject, but I wanted to talk a little bit about this. Attorney General Garland, he reiterated today that no person, not even Trump, is above the law over January the 6th.
He was still president at the time. He was still president at the time, and he may be, depending on the OLC, you know, the Department of Justice's consideration when they came out with this OLC thing that says that they can't be indicted while they're sitting. I mean, he's not sitting now, of course, but
that's
he was
right
at the time. So, you know, he may be depending on that hardcore.
And this is what he said, and I'll quote it. Attorney General Merrick Garland on Wednesday reiterated that no person, not even a former president, was above the law amid calls for the congressional Democrats to charge Donald Trump after last year's Capitol riot. So he said that not once, we've said it twice. And then he also said that just because they're quiet, they're doing behind closed doors, does not mean that they are not going forward with the investigation. He said, we just don't mm-hmm. talk about it. And that right. gave me a little bit of hope today. So because, yeah. you know, I think public sentiment has been that he's going a little, they're going too slow. And he did say today that they have to make sure that they get everything right. And he's right about that, because if they screw up, he'll walk. And we don't want that.
There's a word. There's a word that comes to mind, and it's called deliberate. Move forward with mm-hmm. all deliberateness. Yes, it takes time, mm-hmm. but everything is done deliberately on purpose so that they mm-hmm. have all their ducks in a row.
Yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely.
But ladies, my thing is that Trump has broken the law so many times on so many levels on different things. We can get them on. Mm-hmm. We could get them on one thing at least: tax evasion. You know,
well,
there's so many evidence in New York.
Who wrote that book? She said he's never had consequences in his life.
No.
Have you read the latest about Mary, his niece, Mary Trump?
Yes.
She said mm-hmm. she hopes that he sees jail time, because it would be the first time in his life he sees consequences.
Mm-hmm.
He,
yeah,
he has this sense of entitlement, and mm-hmm. nobody's ever stood up to him before.
No.
He just sues them.
No,
and
has.
Like most governments, they count on the little people to not have the money to litigate against you. And he's counted on that
yeah.
all his life. People can't afford mm-hmm. to litigate against him, so he gets his way.
Yeah.
Well, that's, yeah. you know, that's what he did. He preyed on people also that he knew, you know, in his circle that were having financial problems. And then he would offer them dirt for their homes and dirt for their property,
part
of what he did as well. And then he had, you know, he had an excellent lawyer, the fixer, we know Michael Cohen, who now is very, uh-huh. regrets his whole, you know, and that's a whole nother story and a whole nother segment. But, you know,
oh, yeah.
Michael Cohen, I have to give him some credit, because he at least has admitted and has now sees the error of his ways and the way he was, because he was also drunk with money and power as well.
Yes.
And he was a
yes.
definite Trump loyalist to the bone. The things that that man did for Trump, unbelievable. If you read the book, you're just going to say, oh, wow. You know, and
right.
So I guess I have to give Michael Cohen kudos for, you know, at least seeing the light, and he had to spend some time in jail, you know, and, you know, I think he,
mm-hmm.
did he lose his law, I think he lost his law license, did he lose that?
He may very well have lost that,
and he's lost his reputation,
lost that.
I mean, what else has he got to lose
yeah.
at this point?
That's,
but if
yeah.
Trump
mm-hmm.
ends up being indicted and found guilty and is sentenced, he's going to turn on everybody. His best choice, I think, would be to say, I'm guilty, but I'm going to turn on everybody. I'm going to turn state's evidence.
Yep.
And
yeah.
so they'll put him, if he does serve jail time, it'll be in some posh prison, but it won't be like real prison. But not that I would know. I've visited a few times, but I've never been on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Knock on wood.
Quick question, ladies.
But the thing is, he's going to turn on everybody. And we've, you know, this January 6th hearings, I honestly believe have only scratched the surface. But I really lost faith in the Department of Justice when George W. was in.
Oh.
And George W. Bush.
Yeah.
And that whole
yeah.
Guantanamo Bay thing was going on. And I'm like, you know, and I would have this talk with my children, you know, people will have power over you. If you don't have power over yourself, someone will have power over you, and your choices will be diminished.
Right,
so,
exactly.
you know, I started thinking, well, who has power over the common people? You know, it's, first of all, just white entitled people. They call them Karens. Or the men, we don't know, what do we call the men? The ones who killed Ahmaud Arbery, you know, the ones who say, I'm going to do a citizen's arrest. They can do that right in the Walmart parking lot. And that's right down on your everyday level. But you've also got police have power over you, judges, doctors, employers, spouses, politicians. All these people have certain departments that they have to answer to when they perform some sort of malpractice in this way. You know, the police, they have internal affairs. Judges have the OPR, the Office of Professional Responsibility. Doctors have to carry malpractice insurance. Employers, mm-hmm. you know, when that was such a bad thing, that's how unions started up. I mean, but who takes care of the president? You know, that's the Department of Justice. And if they could handle, I don't know, it's just been, they just don't seem to have the spine that they used to have, you know. Where's their spine?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, and the other
I mean, they're lawyers. I call lawyers rent us spines, but, you know.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
lawyers.
They need to.
You know, the thing that, other thing that I have to say that I got, the other thing is that the Secret Service, I mean, why did they delete those texts? I mean, that really
Well, because Donald Trump, because I don't mean to cut you off, because Donald Trump has politicized the Secret Service, and they're doing everything to protect him because they made an oath to him, not the Constitution of the United States. And I hope those emails and text messages are recovered, because they're going about,
sure they
oh, Hillary's emails. But what about this asshole Trump? You know, look what they did to protect him. Why is nobody going to jail? And what do you hear from Fox News? Absolutely nothing. Not a damn thing. The hypocrisy. And that's why I say again, for the fourth time on the show, Fox News need to be burned to the ground. They're disgusting.
Yes, they
They're
do.
Not good for America. And the help in
But when you say Fox News, you're talking about the corporation that owns them. This is the corporation mentality I'm talking about. Journalism has suffered so badly by being bought out by corporations, and they own them, and they tell them what to say, and they tell them what not to say. And I think that and you can look at the statistics. Schools of journalism have just faltered their registration. Nobody wants to go into it anymore. And there's no, it used to be such a noble thing, you know, and you had people's rights, and you had, you investigated. You didn't just blurt what might hurt. You checked your sources first, you know, and there's just no integrity. You know, integrity means,
well,
I teach my kids, integrity means you do the right thing when nobody's looking. You still
there still are reporters out there that have integrity. It's just Fox News does not have integrity. That's
right.
Right. And there's, of course, in the right wing media, those crazy people are, you know, that are out there. The other person I want to talk about tonight, just a little bit, Josh Hawley. Remember when he showed his fist?
Yes,
you guys
pumped
remember
his fist
that?
And energized the crowd. Yes, I remember that.
Yeah, and he riled up the mob, you know. And guess who ran away? Right when it got hot in the kitchen, Josh. He got out of there fast, didn't he? That coward.
Yeah.
Well, that's what bullies are.
Another one that needs to go down.
We've been being beaten down by a bully gang in the White House lately, and my my grandson asked me today, my friends say that Biden is a wimp and he's not getting anything done. And I said, well, he inherited a huge mess, but and Congress isn't working with him very well. But the purpose of Biden was, it's back to the pendulum again. You know, here's society. The pendulum is swinging. But when the pendulum gets out of balance and it swings too far to one side, which Trump put us way out of balance as a country, and the pandemic at the same time, we had two pandemics. Well, can we call Trump a pandemic? That's not the right word. It was a curse.
How about a hurricane?
We're dealing with both. We're dealing with all of that at
the
same time.
What's worse than a hurricane? A typhoon?
Typhoon?
Mar-a-Lago?
A tsunami. A tsunami is actually worse than a hurricane.
That's the word. That's the word I was
thinking. We had a pandemic and an orange tsunami. Yes, this is the orange tsunami. And
we
had a pandemic at the same time.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, laden with
everything. So it's a terrible condition.
Every single day. Every single day waking up. What did he do today? What did he do today?
It is so nice, isn't it, to have a president in office that we don't have to be worried every day you wake up, what's he going to do today to shame us?
Yeah.
Right, or
get
an atomic bomb or something.
Kill us, put us into a war. Absolutely. Fear, constant fear, constant. He brought stress. He put stress upon, you know, a country that was, it was so much stress. And then the pandemic hit, and it was just like, oh, my God. It was terrible. But I told my grandson, I said, Biden, even if Biden doesn't accomplish anything, he's at least bringing balance back to the pendulum.
Mm-hmm.
I think
mm-hmm.
he's accomplished quite a bit.
The country needed some time to, like, crawl back and lick our wounds.
Hey, so, Jackie, there's a three-year race in the U.S. Senate for Missouri to be the candidate for the U.S. Senator. Lucas Kuntz, Spencer Totter, or Totter, I don't remember how you pronounce his last name, and the ladies, T. Bush Valentine. It was too close to call. Who won that Democratic nomination?
Wow.
You know,
I feel really uninformed right now, but you have to understand, I don't watch television. I haven't watched television since the late 80s. So
right.
I don't know. And usually you find out those things through television, and I don't do that. So I don't know who won that, tell you the truth.
I think it was a lady.
I know who I
won.
Voted for, but.
yeah. And, is you know, if Grant is chosen by the Republicans, you know, do you think he'll win? Like you said at the top of the show that, you know, with Trump being elected, anything is possible.
Yeah, it's frightening.
A quick question, just one last thing. I know it's getting late. Do either of you think that Trump will run in 2024?
Yes, he will.
If
what
he
do you
runs
think,
from
Jackie?
A jail cell, I just don't know.
Yeah. Okay,
if he
I
can,
was
he will. If he can, he will, because his ego is that
now,
big.
Now, see, I don't think he will. I don't think he will. I have this feeling that he will not run, that he'll talk a good game, and then when it comes down to it, he will not run. But if he thinks that he can get maybe immunity or get out of jail free card, maybe he might run. But I don't think that he'll run. I truly do not. I just think it's all a bunch of BS. I really do.
Yes.
But then again,
and this freeloader Donald Trump, you know, this freeloader Donald Trump, he's going across country, and these stupid people who follow him paying up to $4,000 or $5,000 for him.
I know.
And,
right.
And then he canceled, and they don't get the money back.
And he pockets
you know,
the money on top of.
Wow.
Legal bills.
Well,
you know,
you get the government you deserve, I suppose. I suppose they're getting the government they deserve.
Yes, indeed, exactly. And hopefully, you know, he will be president again, kind of bad for the whole world, not just America. Hey, Jackie, thank you so much for calling in tonight. Man. It's
thank
always
you,
good
Jackie.
To hear from you.
It's nice to hear from
you.
We'll be on again next Thursday, Jackie, earlier, though. Well, tonight we were late to the hearing.
Yeah, I heard you had some technical difficulties. Well, no, I think you were just
waiting
to let the hearings close down. I know, I was torn. I was like, what am I going to do? I'm going to have you guys on the phone, and I'm going to be watching the hearings.
we decided to wait.
But it's always
a
pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Take care,
Jackie.
Jackie.
Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was Jackie from
Missouri.
That was
Jackie from Missouri. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, regular caller. My good listener and supporter. Oh, Lord, I'm so exhausted. I started a second job today. Love the job.
Mm-hmm.
People are very nice, and it's a big kitchen with air conditioning. I met one today. She's Greek. Lovely woman. You know, I'm back there tomorrow. That's why we're having a shorter version of the show, because I need to get some sleep. Working two jobs, one night shift, one day shift. I'll probably get 4 hours if I'm lucky, 4 hours sleep. Want to thank everybody for listening and commenting on Facebook on our page and, you know, communicating through us through private messages and what have you, you know, because we need to take the country, the reins of the country away from Republicans. We don't want them to win the 2022 election because it's a stepping stone to the fascism that I want in 2024 and beyond. I want Donald Trump or some figurehead to be some leader who is tyrannical and say that for democracy,
fascist.
But not for democracy. Fascist, basically
that's
right. Fascist. You know, the Mango Mussolini, he's on top of our list.
Yeah.
And you have Satan in Florida. I have Mike Pence, the sweater person, the crazy person who calls his wife mommy.
Yeah.
A creepy bastard. They can't have people indoors in the Oval Office.
No.
So, you know, any final thoughts and comments, Lori?
Let's just hope that when they convene in September again, people have digested everything that we've listened to and heard. Tonight was very eye-opening, and I hope that some Republicans will at least see that this really happened, how close we were to, you know, an overthrow of our democracy. And, you know, we have to get back to normal somehow. And the only way to get back to normal is to vote blue for this time. Let's vote blue in 22.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just try to get back to something normal for the people,
mm-hmm.
not for the corporations,
Indeed.
Not for the politicians, but for the people. We need to do that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And there are some good candidates out there. There are some good candidates out there. You know,
mm-hmm.
I hope
mm-hmm.
that Stacey Abrams makes it in Georgia. And I hope that Beto wins in Texas. I hope that in Michigan that Gretchen Whitmer wins her second term. Powerful, you know, good governors. We need every single Democrat that we can muster.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. Very well said, and I agree with you 100%. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for listening to the Kitchen Politics 123 Radio Show. Until next time, same time, earlier time, same place. We'll see you again next Thursday. This is David Franklin in New Mexico.
And this is Lori Pica in Michigan. Everyone have a good evening, and take care and be safe. Good night.
Thank you.